You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
From our studio to yours, this is Various Artists.
Ahi ahi mari e, tēnā koutou katoa, ko mea toko ingoa.
Ko Sophia toko ingoa, no mai haere mai ki Various Artists mō tēnei wiki. Kia ora mea, how are you this week?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, I'm excited, I'm hosting my 21st tonight, which is oh fun.
I know, I hate 21st, that's Yippee! I'm excited to boogie.
Crazy style.
Crazy.
It'll be good. But yeah. In the meantime, very chill. We've got a lovely chill show for you today. May, what have you got?
Yeah, I caught up with artist Judy Miller about the McCann House Art Union raffle of one of her major works, Hard Epic. Soph, what have you got today?
I caught up with artist Olivia Asher about her current solo exhibition on at Malcolm Smith Gallery at Uxbridge, Upon a Fragile Plane.
Here, aha o whakaro, would love to hear your thoughts on these pieces. So tuku patahi mai, you can text us on 5395-5355 or Waimairanae, give us a call in the studio on 309-3879.
Also after the show, koa e ware ware e ahea na koutou, te whakarongo ki e nei kōrero anō hei pakihere roki roki maronga i te pai tuku tuku o Erirangi Pōho me haere ki 95BFM i rakati.com. You can catch all of these chats and more by podcast on the 95BFM website, 95bfm.com.
Various Artists, so you can go to the opening for more than just the snacks.
Olivia Asher is a Tāmaki-based artist whose multidisciplinary practice explores the material language of lived experience. Working primarily in ceramics, Asher's practice draws on the relationship between form and feeling, letting intuition and intent guide her process and memory cling to material in its exchange. Her current solo exhibition at Malcolm Smith Gallery at Uxbridge, Upon a Fragile Plane, sees Asher exploring these concepts of memory and the state of after, navigating grief through a beautiful new body of work combining ceramic painting and wall adornment. Here, matter holds memory, with clay becoming a metaphor for flesh, once pliant and soft, now hard and fragile, irrevocably changed. In their tender state, the works create a safe container for reflection, resting in this fragile liminal space, exposing an intimate view of the confronting, challenging, and contradictory experiences of after. I caught up with Olivia Asher about the show and her overall practice.
My name is Olivia Asher. I'm an artist based in Tāmaki Makaurau. I moved here like 5 years ago. Prior to that, I was in Melbourne and Wellington, but I came back during COVID to go to Elam, which I finished my BFA there, I think, end of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
I left there using primarily clay, which is something I had always wanted to get into at Elam. And it kind of just stuck, and not in a bad way, but it's kind of what I based my career around up until now. I was fortunate enough to be approached by Coco in Wellington in my last year of Elam and start stocking with them, creating works for them. So yeah, primarily I use a lot of clay, very kind of, I guess, painterly approach in terms of glazing, but yeah, super tactile. And then I also dabble in painting, but I feel like for the past few years, it's kind of taken a little, it's just been put on the burner, on the back burner, while I focus on ceramics.
Yeah.
I feel like that's me.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, your current exhibition at Malcolm Smith Gallery at Uxbridge, Upon a Fragile Plane, sees you exploring these concepts of memory and navigating grief through a new body of work, combining ceramic, painting, and wall adornment. I guess to begin with speaking about the show, would you like to speak to, I guess, this choice of title and how that binds this body of work?
Mm-hmm. So Upon a Fragile Plane, I tend to, when I'm making, collect a list of names and titles, from extracting them from song lyrics, books, poems, anything that I kind of resonate with, extract them, and then I kind of play around with them. So Upon a Fragile Plane was one of many that I tried to dwindle down. I think the other one was that I really liked was Between the Ether and the Flesh. So this kind of, this plane essentially that you exist in my experience, in grief, because it's not here nor there. It's kind of this, it's its own little realm in reality that kind of doesn't feel real. It's a strange thing to experience. And I guess the fragility in that. Yeah, I don't know. I read it and it kind of stuck with me, and I tend to, I don't know why, I feel like I need confirmation. I tend to like ask my friends, I'm like, what do you think of this title? What do you think of that title? And they're like, oh, I think that one works better. I'm like, yeah, cool.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I didn't need a check. I definitely thought that as well.
Yeah.
I worked that out for myself.
Yeah.
Do you find that titling is quite an important consideration for you, and that kind of runs through a lot of, I guess, like putting together a body of work that becomes quite a big thing?
Yeah, titling is a big thing for me. It's essentially like assigning words to something tangible, and I really enjoy it. I like writing, I like poetic little lines, romanticism, all of that. And yeah, you, like I said, you're assigning this object words, and those words can mean anything. You can create any combination, and I feel like it's important for me to kind of actualize the work in a way. I love naming all my works.
As I kind of noted earlier, the show is this very personal reflection on grief, namely through this idea of after. Would you like to speak a little to this concept of after and how you kind of began to approach this idea through this body of work?
Mm-hmm. I guess, yeah, after I first experienced this grief, I didn't make for a while. I kind of sat in it for a very long time, and now and then I would come back to making, and it became this meditative process of applying myself. But it's also it's very still. You're very present with the material. There aren't really any distractions, though I can't make without any distractions. So It was a strange push and pull of wanting to engage, but also not, and then wanting to as a trying to honor the person who passed, but also I'm like, am I speaking about this too soon? Like, do I need to wait longer? And I realize there's never going to be a right time. This aftermath, I think, speaks to a lot of people I've heard talk about grief, is that there is before and there's after. And there's no going back. Like, I can't ever be that person again. So it's kind of, I suppose, like making do with what I can create and have control over. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that idea of like a right time as well is really difficult to kind of overcome, because I think this idea of after is also like never ending. It doesn't have an end point, and it doesn't have a resolution, which is a really difficult thing to grapple with. And I can imagine like approaching that in your practice and being able to go, when is the time that this all ties together and all comes into this? There is no right time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's no right time.
There's no right time.
There's no right time. And I think I'm starting to realize that now, as I, you know, like 2 weeks before I finished the show, I experienced grief again, which kind of, I don't know how to word it. It was a shock, but again, it was like no right time. I kind of had to compartmentalize it to get this work finished. And then, upon the opening, whilst I was like proud of what I made, it felt kind of, at times for me, like disingenuous. Like I felt like I was, you know, honoring this person that passed last year, and then kind of, you know, digging up those fresh wounds of that experienced grief with this new experienced grief, which created a lot of complications. But I think, I don't know, maybe the show holds space for both of those, and kind of, you know, the emphasis of that after, whether it be 2 weeks, 10 months, it's just going to be there.
You have a present.
Mm.
I guess that kind of got me thinking. I think what kind of stands out with the show is like in this exploration, I guess, is that kind of tension between vulnerability as this very private experience into the public sphere in a gallery. With regards to that tension, how does it feel for you to kind of share your art or this series in that particular way?
I love vulnerability. I love sharing it. I think it resonates with people, and I feel the same when I experience someone else sharing their vulnerability. I really admire it, and I think because this experience of grief like impacted my life so much, I couldn't share anything else. I feel like I would be not, like kind of like disregarding in a sense like that impact that it had on my life and still has. So I think I'm glad I shared it. I feel like a lot of my work comes from a personal place. Mm. No matter what object I create or work I make, it always comes from my inner world. I feel like I'm a very pensive person, journaling, trying to analyze my own feelings. So to articulate it in like a physical form was really important to me. Mm. Kind of helps with that grief in a way. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. I kind of want to come back a little bit to material. You're working with a variety of material here. Would you like to speak a little bit to, I guess, the material condition of the state of after and how this idea is carried through or represented in the material itself? I read a part where you kind of spoke about clay being flesh. Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
So yeah, in using clay, it goes through this process, which I felt directly reflected like grief or humanity of, it starts off this malleable thing and it forms shape through, you know, physical impressions, and it holds memory. Yeah, one thing about clay is that it always holds memory. And then it's like that process. It's such a slow process with clay of, you know, from the point of in the ground to the solid stoneware. So it's, yeah, like this malleable thing made into this form, which then has to sit and dry and become this solid thing. But in that solid, you know, it's still very fragile before it reaches that firing stage. So it could break at any minute and I'll have to start over again, or I can't become too attached to these works in case that does happen. So that, yeah, once it's like bone dry, then it's fired, and then glaze, it's like you're always tending to it. It's quite a tentative practice, and yeah, and then it like solidifies and it's this hard object that came from nothing. And it's this elevation essentially, and I think that speaks to so much in humanity of, and emotions and feelings and memories. You know, this thing occurs and then things happen to it, and then it just solidifies and cements and becomes this permanent, rigid object. Yeah.
It lives a whole story before it becomes its final form.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's such a beautiful way of looking at it. I guess with having these more like ceramic works and using clay, but also piecing them with your painting works, I think particularly I'm thinking about Hopscotch, which directly incorporates the two. How do you kind of see that interplay between painting and ceramic work and the exploration in this space?
I feel like painting and ceramics have always had this kind of like innate marriage through history and artists that I adore. There's always been, yeah, these two kind of facets that they hold and make, and each kind of impacts the other. I think I have a real like affinity to painting. I started off as a painter, and similar to ceramics, it's, you have to be completely present with the work and you're reacting to, you know, its reactions. You're having this conversation with it and you're informing each other. And I think, yeah, that is the same with painting and ceramics, and I just wanted to do both. And I don't really know if I can articulate it properly, but I think, yeah, there was this desire to create kind of like a visual atmosphere. Like, ceramics are great, physical, beautiful, but I think in my experience there lacks a little bit of definition or room for exploration that painting holds. Yeah, and I think with Hopscotch, I was so unintentional until I finished making. I had originally made all these chains for one of my vessels to hang off, and then I started playing around with them and, yeah, kind of fell in love with the chain hanging from the painting.
I think you spoke really beautifully about it there, and I guess that process of painting, this kind of idea in your process, it's kind of this exchange between intention and intuition. Would you be able to speak a little bit more to, I guess, that interplay between intention and intuition in that process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I think for me, before a show, I always like draw a lot, extracting things from different parts of my life. Becomes like this not pre-planning, but it's the first phase that I know to making a body of work. Mm. It's just doodling, scribbling, writing, and I feel like that becomes quite repetitive, and so I start off with like that intention, and then once I actually start making, it's hard to transform these things, these images that I've drawn, into physical works. So I think it's always the intention there, but I have to take it and apply it, and then I have to, I think it speaks to like that same thing, the thing I said earlier about like having a conversation.
Mm.
It becomes intuitive once it starts happening, and I think is the same with painting. You know, you can have this preconceived idea of what you want to make and you can see it completely in your head, but then once you come to actually translate it onto a substrate or a material, it transforms completely, and all these like preconceived ideas disappear, and then it becomes completely intuitive. I think that is quite present with ceramics. You know, you kind of give it over to the kiln and hope that it comes out in the way that you thought. So it's really managing a lot of expectations, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that leads quite nicely to my next question. I wanted to ask you a bit about form. I kind of interpreted kind of many of the forms in this series as kind of taking shape as almost these interconnecting webs that kind of weave through one another. But I feel like those forms kind of stand in contrast to the depiction of Gates and some of the other works at times, which symbolically don't have, I guess, the same embrace or invitatory quality. Are you able to speak a little bit more to this idea of form in the works and the exploration of form across material?
Yeah, great question. yeah, there's a lot of connectedness. I feel like that's been present in my work for a while, whether it be, you know, like symbolic or materially necessary. That's kind of been like, yeah, an innate quality of my practice, especially with ceramics. And I think this, like, it's like not subliminal messaging, but like subconscious, like absorbing environment and atmosphere and the internet and everything that kind of impacts what you consume. And I feel like that comes out in, you know, forms and drawing, which is where a lot of the paintings started, is from doodles that I've done of things I saw during the day. It's like intentional but unintentional, and then it kind of honestly sometimes just comes down to aesthetic of what I feel like embodies. Like, I'm not doing it on purpose, perhaps. Like, it's not like, oh, this is so symbolic of what I'm feeling right now, I'm gonna paint it. It kind of just starts off as like me doing a little drawing on the canvas. Yeah, I feel like a lot of it is aesthetic, a reflection of the time, which, I don't know, I guess, you know, culture has a huge impact on who we are. I think I'm always drawn to, like, you know, like this web connection and this gate or like ironwork connection as like quite ornamental and quite decorative, and kind of these nice like patinations and repetition of these forms and structures. I think that's what I'm drawn to, is like the physical structure, and I guess how that can translate and how it informs what I do.
For viewers who do go to see the show, do you have any hopes for viewers engaging with the works at all?
I guess I just hope that it's a very, in my opinion, a very like soft show in terms of its fragility and kind of the softness and tenderness. I don't know, I just hope it makes them feel something, whatever that may be, and makes them reflect or, you know, introspective about if they've had experiences with grief or not, trying to understand it. Yeah, I just hope it makes them feel present in that space.
That was artist Olivia Asher speaking to me about her current solo exhibition at Malcolm Smith Gallery at Uxbridge, Upon a Fragile Plane. The exhibition is on now until the 9th of May.
Oh, that's a good art.
We've now got a song requested by my mother. She messaged me this morning and said, can you please play this song?
Shout out.
So this is Come Down by Rev Fountain. Enjoy, mother.
Yeah. Armageddon! It's the most exciting gaming and pop culture event of the year. And if you are a wielder of the all-powerful B card, then you could win tickets. So stay tuned to 95 BFM Drive all week for your cue to enter. Armageddon, Anzac Long Weekend, April 25th till the 27th at the Auckland Showgrounds. Get your tickets now at iticket.co.nz or on the door.
Hello, my little sparrows. If you're listening right now, then this message was meant for you. Claim it if it resonates. I've got my tarot deck here. I'm going to pull a card to illuminate an intention for you. Just shuffling. Ooh, it's the B card. This card represents prosperity, greatness, clout. Oh, I love this for you. Expect an abundance of free things. Music, merch, coffee, ticket.
Get a B card today from 95bfm.com for just $4.20 a month and be in to win tickets, albums and more.
Okay, Meadow, we can't lose again or it's off to the factory. Go, Meadow, go! No, other way! Don't you want to live?
Gonna get there, good horse. Headway wins the Spring Cup.
Oh no, Meadow. I won't let them take you, Meadow. We'll find a way. I just saw a documentary about a basketball-playing Labrador. Maybe you can learn an unconventional sport too.
Pony Ping Pong with Matt and Aaron, bringing as much entertainment to your Friday night as a Shetland pony skee-balling the table edge. With a mix of mash downs, candid conversation, cheap shots, and mystery celebrity nakedness. Pony Ping Pong, Friday, 9 till 11 p.m, only on 95BFM.
At this radio station, we do our utmost to abide by the Broadcasting Standards Authority and their rules and guidelines. If you seriously think we've crossed the line on air, give us a call on 309 4831 within 20 working days of the broadcast date and tell us about it. We'll be able to help you out and tell you the procedure if you wish to make a formal complaint to the Broadcasting Standards Authority. Fuck knuckles, cock and piss. Moulds. Thank you.
Yes, darling, but is it art?
The McCann House Trust was established in 1999 to recognise the life and art of Colin McCann during the transformative period where his family lived in Titirangi. The McCann House Trust upholds this by offering the Parahuia Artist Residency, where artists are offered a place to live on site as well as an artist studio to work out of. This is a wonderful program that has been designed to support artists at these pivotal moments in their career, the residency providing time, space and support for artists to really hone in on the development of their practice. Helping and supporting this great program to stay thriving, the McCann House Trust has recently announced a nationwide raffle of one of Judy Miller's major works, Hard Epic. The initiative drawing on the historic art union tradition, as well as marking the 20th anniversary of the Parahuia Artist Residency, the raffle inviting the wider public to help participate in the sustaining of this wonderful art program. Judy Miller is one of Aotearoa's most distinguished and internationally acclaimed artist, producing breathtaking large-scale abstract paintings. Miller holds a close place in her heart for the Parahuia Artist Residency, as she was the very first artist to be invited to live and work on site. Her time there came at a pivotal time in her artistic career and provided her time to focus in on her artistic practice. Miller now serves as a trustee of the McCann House and is passionate about giving back to the next generation of artists here in Aotearoa. I caught up with Judy about the raffle and the importance of the Parahuia Artist Residency.
I'm Judy Miller. I'm a painter. Gosh, I've been working so long it gets more difficult to talk about what I actually do, but my work's really very body-oriented. It's really exploring all the intersections between matter and material, the mental world and the meaning that comes out of the collision of those things.
Wonderful. And the McCann House Trust has recently announced a nationwide raffle of one of your stunning paintings in which you have donated. The initiative drawing on the historic art union tradition as well as marking the 20th anniversary of the Parahuia Artist Residency, inviting the wider public to participate in the sustaining of this wonderful art program. program. I'd like to start this conversation by speaking a bit to the McCann House Trust and what it offers. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about the artist residency and what it provides for artists?
Yeah, sure. So I was the inaugural resident 20 years ago. It came at a time in my life when I'd made a few choices to give myself more time to work in the studio, and that came with some reasonably difficult financial position. So I was very happy to just be given the residency to take some time out from the struggle and to just focus on the work. And that's really what the residency does. It offers mostly younger artists, but some mid-career or older artists, just a chance to go and spend 3 months in the residency house. They're financially supported. They get a studio to work in, and really they get some time out from the normal kind of routine of their lives to focus on their work. So it's sited next to where Colin McCann lived with his family in Te Tauranga back in the 1960s. And it was a time in McCann's life when he was facing very similar challenges. He had a young family. He was working at the Auckland Art Gallery, first as a cleaner and then eventually as a curator, and travelling in from Te Tauranga on the bus every day into the city, and then going home at night and working, once the kids had gone to bed, working in basically the living room to make his work. So it's a kind of historic moment in New Zealand art that's there, and giving younger artists the chance to go there and add to that legacy is a pretty special thing. We've been going now 20 years. I'm now a trustee on the trust, which administers and kind of oversees the project. It's really sought after. So when we put out submissions, applications for artists to get the residency, there are always it's hugely competitive, which shows that there's still huge interest from artists to participate. And we've been amazingly successful in choosing artists that have gone on to have pretty great careers. So it just shows that it's really a lighthouse project in the New Zealand art scene.
Yeah, such a wonderful opportunity. And for you, the opportunity to live and work there at that specific time in your career, what do you think it really offered you, and like, what did it serve you in your wider practice? What did you gain from that experience?
Well, it gave me a chance to have a break from the rigors of the world, but it also being surprisingly for me, really. You can go into the little McCann's house where they lived, which is a very small house, and there are letters, and you can listen to the voice of McCann reading things and talking. And I would go in there late at night, and it was at a time when I was really debating whether the sacrifices that I was being, you know, faced with were worth making. And McCann, it was really just, I felt like he was talking to me late at night and saying, come on, girl, get real, move on. and that, you know, I did. I found somehow the strength to kind of, you know, commit again to a life as a visual artist, which is not always easy. And I would like to think that, you know, all the artists earlier gain that similar sense of, okay, we're ready to move forward.
Yeah, it's so great to be, as an earlier career artist, to have these people trust in you and be given that space where you're slightly held a bit more rather than just, you know, thrown out into the wider whole art world, and be given that space to really nurture and care for your artistic practice.
Absolutely. I mean, that's not always a kind world, the art world, but the residency and everything that goes around that is very much geared to trusting and protecting and nurturing. So it's not only being given the house and money to live there, you have someone checking in on you. You can have as much or as little connection with the environment around or the people around as you would like. And the idea really is to offer that sort of nurture for a little while.
Yeah, and now 20 years on, you've already mentioned that you serve as a trustee of the McCann House and are in this wonderful position to be able to give back and support other artists with the donating of this painting. I wanted to ask, what makes this residency so important for artists, but as well as the wider ecosystem here in Aotearoa?
Yeah, I mean, artists constantly need support, and it gets harder to find. The wider ecosystem depends on us having great artists in the end. Unless the artists having time to work to make their work, there is nothing. There are no exhibitions, and there's, you know, there's nothing to write about, and there's nothing to talk about, and there's nothing to go and see. So I really think it's pretty fundamental that we look after artists and encourage them, give that encouragement to continue. Yeah, so I 100% believe in the residency program. I want to do everything I can to help it grow and remain strong, but get stronger. And I'm in a position to give back now, as you say. So I think if you can give back, you should give back. So that's my chance. And you know, 20 years is a great marker. Not everything survives for 20 years. So I think it's just a time when we can try and build the trust very strong and move on.
Yeah, great. And I also wanted to delve a little bit into the painting itself, which you donated, which is titled Hard Epic and was painted in 2021. Do you want to tell me a little bit about the work itself as well as why you chose the specific work to donate?
Well, it was painted just after our whole COVID period. It was a time of optimism, it seemed. I'd spent a lot of time out on the West Coast staring at sunsets during the lockdowns, and that painting really came out of it. So it was a moment, I think, of gathering things together, and it was a moment of optimism. I felt that was a good, I'd held on to that painting, and I felt it was a good painting to symbolise what we were trying to do. It's a reasonably major work, and I thought it should be a major work. You know, I think it's got to draw attention to what we're trying to do. So for all those reasons. And it sort of relates a little bit in some way to McCann's paintings of sunsets, because he lived at Murawai, of course, in the later part of his life. So it's not, it's certainly, there is some relationship there to many of his sunset paintings, which I thought was, you know, appropriate.
Yeah. And lastly, how does it feel to be able to give back to the residency and, yeah, be a trustee in the McCann House and, as a established artist, being able to be in that opportunity to give back and help cultivate that artistic journey for that next generation?
Well, there's nothing like giving, is there? If you are in the opportunity to do it, or you have the opportunity to do it, I think I've been incredibly lucky in my time, and to be able to sort of pass that luck on is, it feels really good. I realise not everyone has $100 for a ticket, but it's good to spread the word about McCann House and the residency, and hopefully it goes for at least another 20 years. So I'm looking forward to the future of everything.
That was Judy Miller speaking to me about the McCann House Trust Union Art Raffle of one of her major works, Hard Epic. You can purchase the tickets for the McCann House Art Union Raffle now at mccannhouse.org.nz. The tickets are $100 and the winning ticket will be drawn publicly on Sunday the 3rd of May at the McCann House Trust booth during the Aotearoa Art Fair. The proceeds will directly support the ongoing sustainability of the Parahuia Artist Residency, supporting the next generation of artists here in Aotearoa.
Only positive critiques. Honest.
Various artists.
We'll be right back with your arts guide, but in the meantime, this is Talk to Me by Robin. I've been really enjoying this album, so yeah, enjoy.
I need to know. 95 BFM.
Oh, I love this song.
We'll be right back.
Love BFM. Yeah, 95. You know, all other radio stations are shit.
It's the 95BFM Art Guide on various artists. It's paintings and that.
This week in the wonderful world of art in Tāmaki Makaurau. As mentioned on the show, Olivia Ashe's solo exhibition Upon a Fragile Plane is on view at Uxbridge's Malcolm Smith Gallery until the 9th of May.
Veroditas is on at Melanie Roger Gallery until the 2nd of May.
Lucia Sidonio's solo exhibition Internal Rumours is on at Starkwhite until the 25th of April.
Ingrained by Martino Gamba is on at Object Space until the 31st of May.
Aotearangi Anderson and Georgia Tikaputini Douglas Hood's joint exhibition Moahua is on at Grace Aotearoa until the 9th of May.
Amon Nakuru Telltale A Dog is on at Te Uru Waitakere Contemporary Gallery until the 17th of May.
And Dreaming From Afar, a group show exhibiting Brunel Diaz Prims, Gian Manic and Tyrone Tewa is on at Gus Fisher Gallery until the 2nd of May. If you have something you want on the Art Guide, you can email us at arts@95bfm.com.
That was the 95BFM Art Guide.
ko ira te hōtaka katoa mō tēnei wiki, nei te mihi kia koutou katoa I koreo mai ki maua mō tēnei rā.
That's all for us for Various Artists for today. Ngā mihi nui to everyone who spoke with us.
Olivia Asher.
And Judy Miller.
Nei rā, hoki te mihi kia koutou e whakarongo ana. Thanks for tuning in.
And remember, you can listen back to all of today's pieces on 95BFM.com or check out our Instagram at 95BFM Various Artists for more.
Ka hoki mai mātaua te rā wiki. Next up is The Land of the Good Groove with Nigel. My name is Soph.
I'm Maya.
And that was Various Artists.
We'll catch you next week.
You're listening to 95BFM. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.